You look at me like I've lost my voice or something. It's true. So if you'd bear with me, I'll bear with you, and we'll be done here. Four observations this evening about Thanksgiving. The holiday Thanksgiving is upon us, not this Thursday, but the following. And I would like to ask the question to you, what makes Thanksgiving in your home? And I'm not just looking for the spiritual answers of, well, we give thanks to God. I'm looking for answers like turkey and candy corn. So let me just throw the question out to you and just take a few responses. What would Thanksgiving not be without this certain thing, Jed? Pumpkin spice. Some people start that in July. What would Thanksgiving not be without something in your house? Mrs. Haynes. Family. Very good. Another one. Turkey dinner. Yes. Stuffing. That is, it would not be Thanksgiving without stuffing in my house. Ethan. Food. Yes. Just anything, right? Andrew. There you go. Football. Ken. All right, so not backyard football, but front yard football. Good. Anyone else? Something that it would not be Thanksgiving without. Mrs. Bunn. Yes. Very good. Well, we'll end on that one. Good. So I would like to just look at the idea tonight. There's two different accounts here in Luke 17 and then another one in Luke 18. Two people who come and they give thanks to God, and one is genuine, and one is false. It's not real Thanksgiving. And I just kind of like pit the two against each other. And as we look at both stories, and we won't dive into each of them thoroughly, but as we look at them in light of each other, just pull out four observations about Thanksgiving to our great God. So let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time. Lord, I thank you for the young people who have ministered in song and in service. And Lord, I pray a blessing on their life. And as they seek to serve you, that you would guide them in your perfect will. And Lord, we thank you for the young people here at our church, and I do pray, Lord, that now you would bless this time as we look into your word. And Lord, we would see these observations about Thanksgiving, and we would incorporate them in our own life as the holiday Thanksgiving comes up. But just every day of our life, that we would offer thanks to you, who alone is worthy of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's look in Luke 17, if we will. I'd like to direct your eyes down to verse 11. Luke 17, 11. Here's the first account. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who had stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Here's a Samaritan, a half-breed the Jews despised. It seems that the other 9 might have been Jews because it mentions specifically this was a Samaritan, a man who is part of a mixed race now and now a mixed religion as they worshiped God, but not according to the law. And he comes back and he understands, when I've been cleansed, I'm going to offer thanks to the one who cleansed me. And his return, it demonstrates his faith in verse 19. Christ says, you're not only physically cleansed, but you are spiritually cleansed. You are saved. Now let's look at the other account, Luke chapter 18. Down in verse 9, we'll pick up this other thanksgiving. Luke 18, 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. On the one hand, we have a Samaritan leper who's healed. He returns to give thanks to God. Thanksgiving. On the other hand, we have a Pharisee who goes up to the temple to pray, and he starts out his prayer, God, I thank thee. Thanksgiving. But is it genuine? Is that really giving thanks? Well, let's see these four observations. First, true thanksgiving comes from those who confess their true condition. Those who confess their true condition are ones who can offer true thanksgiving. The lepers here, they knew their condition. They stood afar off. The law commanded them, if you have leprosy, you have this awful disease, you have to be put out of the city. You can't live with your family. You can't attend synagogue. You have to go out and live in a leper's colony, and you're banished there for life, unless somehow you come clean of leprosy. And so the lepers, they understood their condition. They stood afar off. You know the saying, the lepers would cry and they would say, unclean, unclean. They knew their condition. Leprosy had stolen from them their normal lives, separated them from their families, stifled any future hopes that they may have had. And they stood afar off knowing their dire condition. And they confessed it. We're unclean. And in verse 13 of chapter 17, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They asked for mercy, something that they knew they didn't deserve. They didn't deserve that Jesus would come and heal them. Oh, they wanted it, but they knew they didn't deserve it. They knew that they were unclean. They knew they had to stand afar off. They confessed their true condition. They said, take pity on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy. They had heard enough about this Jesus to know that that they should request for cleansing from him. They had heard that a blind man could see again. Unclean spirits were cast out of the possessed. A man with a withered hand had been healed. A girl was raised from the dead, and the lame were made to walk again. Surely he can heal me from leprosy. And they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Friends, Jesus can not only heal people of leprosy, he can heal us of our sin. Have you been redeemed, as 1 Peter writes, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot? Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Christ can take a leper of sin and bring him close through his cleansing blood, through his power to forgive and to cleanse sin. Friend, have you accepted him as your Savior? Have you asked him for mercy and for cleansing of your sin? Only Jesus can cleanse us of our sin for salvation. Only Jesus can forgive us of our sin as we strive to become Christ-like. 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanseth, a continual action, a cleansing that goes on as we are in the process of sanctification. Verse 8, but if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Here we come to the second individual. If we say we have no sin. Look at the Pharisee for a moment as a picture. He's blind to his true condition. Notice how he goes up to the temple to pray. Thus with himself, God, I thank thee, in verse 11, that I am not as other men are. And he gives a list, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, this publican here. I tithe, I fast, I'm good. He's blind to his true condition of needing a Savior. He's quite content with how he is. There's no mention of his sinfulness. In fact, he's real good at pointing out a few other people's sinfulness. A man who has deceived himself, oh, there's no sin. I have no need. We're going to find out he is not eligible to offer true thanksgiving. Christ often rebuked the Pharisees on this very point. You think that you're fine, but you are not. And Christ would say the same thing to us as we try to offer our own righteousness to him as filthy rags. Oh, we think we're good. We think we haven't sinned as bad as so-and-so down the row. Or so, you know, the person I read about in the paper, I'm not that bad. But Christ is not looking for comparisons. He's not looking for a list of other men's sins. He's looking for us to humbly come and say, I'm afar off. I'm a leper in my sin. I am cast off, but for the blood of Christ that can cleanse me. The Pharisee sees himself as A-OK, and in comparison to this publican, he's doing pretty well. But brothers and sisters, what is our true condition? Have you confessed your condition of sinfulness to a holy God? Have you come to grips with your true sinful condition? And I know I'm looking at many who have, and they've come to the scriptures, and they've called upon the name of the Lord, and Christ has cleansed you of your sin. Perhaps there's one here who has not yet accepted Christ. You are still afar off, but you can still cry, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Cleanse me of my sin. Forgive my trespasses against you. Have you come to Jesus and asked him for cleansing? Only when we confess our sinfulness and come to Jesus for cleansing can we begin to offer true thanksgiving to God. But what of our true condition as believers in this process of growing to be more Christ-like? Christian brothers and sisters, we can deceive ourselves into thinking much like this Pharisee. I'm doing well. God, I thank thee that I am saved and I've been a Christian for 25 years and I go to church every Sunday and I fast twice in the week except for Thanksgiving week and I give tithes of all that I possess and we make a nice laundry list of all the good things that we do and all the bad things that we don't do. But Christ isn't looking for that either. Christ isn't looking for us to stand like this Pharisee and say, God, I thank thee that I am A-OK, that I'm doing pretty well. Brothers, that's not true thanksgiving. When we are self-deceived, we will not be offering the thanks that God deserves. Paul understood his true condition as a saved man who was indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, yet having a sin nature, an old man. Yeah, in Romans 7:24, he exclaims, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this sin nature that is always present with me? In the next verse, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ is able in his power to give me victory over the sin nature. Do you on a regular basis confess your true condition? That I need the Holy Spirit to indwell, he indwells us, but I need him to empower me and to give me victory through his power because I am unable to have victory. Because until we come to that point, our thanksgiving is like the Pharisees. It's pretty hollow. I love how I don't really love it, but it's when the Pharisee says, God, I thank thee, and then he stops talking about God. Everything else is, I do this, and I'm not that, and I do this, and I'm good. And he gives lip service, and it stops there. And I don't want to give just lip service to God in thanksgiving. I want to be in the place where I can offer true thanksgiving, first because we confess our true condition, where we are really at with God, saved, joint heirs with Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, given the perfect, inerrant word of God, yet having a sin nature and needing the empowering of the Holy Spirit to please God every day of our life. We need him. And in order to give proper thanks, we need to realize that we need him on a daily basis. The Pharisee trusted in himself that he was righteous. And woe to us if we're lulled into the same mindset that we're good. And then we offer thanks to God. But is that really thanksgiving? Secondly, true thanksgiving is made with a pure motive. Got to have a pure motive behind thanksgiving. The only acceptable motive of thanksgiving is to glorify God. Notice in chapter 17, verse 15, Notice how thanks and glorifying God are right there side by side. Chapter 17, let's look in verse 18. There are not found that returned to give glory to God save the stranger. So we have glory to God there. Back in verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. You see these two together here. You see them together in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. The two are side by side here. Again, in Revelation 4:9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever. You see glory to God and thanksgiving right there, side by side. If we give thanks and we offer thanks to God for any other motive other than to bring him glory and to exalt him in the eyes of others, we're offering false thanksgiving. Notice the Pharisee. Why would the Pharisee come to the temple to pray? We know we can pray anywhere. But the Pharisee comes to the temple to pray. Jesus teaches his disciples several times not to do as the Pharisees did. In Matthew chapter 6, you see when it's talking about giving alms, do not sound a trumpet before you in the streets. Dun, da, da, da. Drop the money in the plate. Going to help somebody else out and let everybody else know it. That's not genuine. They already have the reward. Fasting. Moreover, when they are fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. They disfigure themselves, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, they have their reward. Don't fast that way and let everybody else know that I'm fasting because I'm just that spiritual people. No, and then praying. Christ says the same thing. When you pray, don't go out in the corner of the streets and the synagogues and I submit the temple into public places and pray so other people can hear you pray. Those men have the reward. And he tells us as his followers, Christ tells us, enter into your closet, close the door, then the Father can answer your prayers. Several times, Christ teaches his disciples not to do as the Pharisees did. Now, there is no sin in thanking God publicly. There is no sin in and of itself, the Pharisee coming to the temple to say, God, I thank thee. Period. There's no sin in thanking God publicly. In fact, we're going to have a Pie and Praise Fellowship, not tomorrow, but November 25th, Monday evening. And don't come just for the pie. Come to praise the Lord. Bring a testimony. It is proper, it is fitting, it is right to praise God publicly. Psalm 18:49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O God, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. But not just among the heathen, Psalm 35, verse 18, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Oh, it is fitting, it is proper for us to lift our voice in thanksgiving to God with one another in public. The problem here lies, the Pharisee was willing to do lip service to God in public, but his motive was not to glorify God. It was to exalt himself. We see this down in verse 14. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. That was the driving force behind why the Pharisee went to pray, to give thanks. Not true thanksgiving, but he was there for the praise of men. As one author wrote, he had nothing in his eye but self, his own praise and not God's glory. Here's a man who goes publicly to give thanks to God, and he's really just there for his own praise. Oh, brothers and sisters, we can fall into the same temptation when we pray publicly, when we give testimony publicly, where we say, I would like to thank the Lord that, and then we finish up with what the Pharisee talks about himself. Now, generally, I've yet to hear a testimony where someone stands up and they say, well, I just praise the Lord that, you know, I'm not an extortioner, and I'm not an adulterer, and I'm not like this guy over here. I've yet to hear that in a church service. And I know I won't this coming Monday. But I'm afraid sometimes our testimonies turn that way when we say, I like to thank the Lord for, and then we just turn and we start talking about ourselves. Brother, let's exalt Christ. Let's give Jesus the glory. His motivation here was the praise of men, and not the exaltation of God. And that's one of the reasons why Christ says, when you pray, don't do it in public, do it in private. Because the temptation to please men is strong. When you give alms, don't tell people about it, because then your temptation will be so other people will know that you're giving to someone else. He says, do it privately. Now, we certainly ought to offer God thanks in public. We ought to also offer thanksgiving in private, or our motive will be shown to be corrupt. If the only time we open our mouth in thanksgiving to God is when there's a whole bunch of people around, even when it's just our family, my brothers and sisters, what's our motive? Or when you're stepping into the shower, do you have a prayer of thanks to God that you have hot water that day, that the pipes didn't freeze over? Which we're getting to that time of year. Do you thank God when you open the fridge and you realize, wow, I do have an extra container of sour cream, and I didn't know I had that. And just breathe a prayer of thanks to God, even just for the material things that he's given us. And just to breathe a prayer of thanksgiving to God when he brings a verse to mind that keeps me from saying something that I ought not to say. And just breathe a prayer of thanksgiving to God for that. Is it not enough for just me and him to be in the room and for me to thank him? Yes, I should do it in public with my friends, with my family, with my church body, but I should give thanks to God in private also. We ought to thank God because he is worthy. Psalm 119:62, the psalmist writes, At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Philippians 4:6, Paul writes, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving in the prayers that we pray throughout the day. The leper here, he comes back to thank Jesus. In verse 15, the end of the verse says, with a loud voice, glorified God. He cries with a loud voice, not really a private whisper in Jesus' ear. Thank you. No. But you know this leper didn't care who else was hearing it. If you look at it, he with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The Samaritan came to thank God and not exalt himself. He came to worship at Christ's feet and not for other people to see him. He gets down on the ground. It's not about him, it's about Christ. Do we thank God only for his goodnesses, only when others are around, or are we satisfied to praise him in private? True thanksgiving, when it's real thanksgiving, genuine, it's with a pure motive to glorify God. Third, true thanksgiving springs from a humble heart. Back in chapter 18, verse 11, the Pharisee. How is this Pharisee standing in the temple? Now, I don't have instant replay. I don't have the cassette tape or videotape, VHS tape. I don't have a video recording of this Pharisee standing in the temple. But in verse 13, we see a publican standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven. That detail there shows this publican's down with his head down. And I think in comparison, the Pharisee didn't have his head down. It's just speculation, but I think the Pharisee was kind of just upright. Not prostrate before the Lord. Definitely not with a humble attitude inside. But here's the Pharisee contrasted against the publican. I surmise the Pharisee was lifting up his head towards heaven. But notice his attitude. The Pharisee's attitude, God, I thank thee. And he starts talking about himself. There are several Hebrew and Greek words for pride, several different nuances. In Hebrew, there's one word that means to be large. There's another word, several different words have the idea of being high. I mean, so someone who's proud is big and they're tall, right? No, there's several different words, but one of the words and one of the predominant words for pride is to be high, to be lifted up, to be exalted. The idea of looking down your nose at somebody. You have to be higher up so you can look down your nose at them. Just the idea of being lifted up, being higher than others, to show yourself above someone else. This is the attitude of the Pharisee. God, I thank thee that I'm this way and I'm not like this publican over here. Looking down his nose at him, despising him, trusting in his own righteousness. Proud. Psalm 101, verse 5. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, God says, I will not suffer. God doesn't accept thanksgiving from a proud heart. In fact, in James 4, 6, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Psalm 10, verse 4 tells us the wicked through the pride, or the Hebrew word means height, through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. That tells me not only does God not accept thanksgiving from a proud heart doesn't offer thanksgiving to God. Or if it does, it's for a false motive. Because here's a Pharisee looking down his nose at a publican saying, God, I thank thee. God's not accepting that thanksgiving. And the Pharisee's not really offering true thanksgiving because he's there to exalt himself, not to glorify God. The proud heart offers no true thanks to God, only a heart of humility. Notice in verse 16 of chapter 17, the Samaritan leper, who's now cleansed, he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus. A complete contrast from a proud Pharisee who's there to be seen. Oh, he's not going to get down on his knee because that would minimize his profile. No, he's going to stand. But here's a Samaritan leper who's cleansed, and he is humble, and he just worships at the feet of Christ to give him thanks. God is looking for people with hearts of humility to bring true thanksgiving to him. So let's keep that in mind. The proud person does not recognize God is not in all his thoughts because his countenance is high. He doesn't see the hand of God blessing him. He attributes it all to himself. And that's the last thing. True thanksgiving gives all glory to God. It gives all glory to God. The Pharisee here gives no credit to God. He kind of gives token credit. He says, I thank thee that I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not an adulterer. I'm not like this publican. I fast and I tithe. And the Pharisee, you don't get a sense that he's giving God credit. God, thank you for enabling me to live a righteous life. Thank you for empowering me. Thank you for giving me the scriptures that teach me what is right. His thanks is about him and what he has done. He gives no glory to God as Paul did in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul gives the glory to God. He says, you know what? I am nothing but for the grace of God. And we are neither. We are sinners that are afar off, but for Christ, who came by, revealed himself to us in the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts, and we cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he did. And since then, he's indwelled us with the Holy Spirit. That is the only thing that empowers us to live a righteous life. He is the only one that can give us the strength to do what is right and to resist temptation. He's given us his word, the only thing that straightens out our twisted mindsets and straightens it out so that we can bring glory to God. But for it is the grace of God that we are what we are. Any good thing in your life, any good thing in my life is because of the grace of God. And the Pharisee doesn't recognize that. He says, I am this, I'm not that, I do this, I do that. He's not really giving true thanksgiving to God. There's no credit to God in his grace because he's trusting in himself that he is righteous. And we are all too quick to embezzle God's glory and to shine the spotlight of attention on ourselves. The leper, by contrast, I want to be this leper guy, a cleansed leper. He gives all glory to God. He's cleansed from his leprosy, and he gives God all the glory for the grace that he showed. No, he goes out of this way to thank God. In verse 15, one of them, they're making their way down to the priests to be declared righteous or to be declared clean. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And verse 18, there are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. He goes out of his way. He's heading down towards the priest to be declared clean so he can go back and join his family again, reestablish his position in society, get his job back, make new friends. He's on his way towards that, and he stops. He realizes, I am clean. This man healed me of my leprosy. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to give him the credit, give him the glory. I'm going to praise him for what he has done in my life. And yes, I'll go down to the priest in a minute, but I'm going to get this done first. You ever wonder what the mindset of the other nine were? I read a list of somebody surmising just the thoughts of maybe nine other people. And one of them was, well, you know, I'm going to go back and thank him after I see the priest. Well, he missed out being recorded in the scripture, if he ever did. I'm just bound to get down there so I can see my family again. Well, here's a man who likely had family, likely had a lot to go back to in his life, but first he comes back to give God all the glory. We have the privilege to give glory to God, but not everyone who receives the blessings of God gives him glory. In verse 18, there are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. There were nine others that received cleansing from their leprosy, but they didn't come to give glory to God. Not everyone who receives the blessings of God gives him the glory. And I'm not talking just about unsaved people either. The unsaved people who Thanksgiving all it is Turkey Day. Watch the Macy Parade. Watch Michigan State and Ohio go at it on the field. I'm not talking about people who just leave God completely out and they don't thank him for his blessings on their life. You know, the Lord sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. But also even among believers, not everyone who receives the blessings of God recognize him for giving them. They don't thank him for the blessings. So not everyone who receives the blessing of God gives him glory. All 10 lepers were healed, but how many came to give glory? One. All 10 were quite obedient to the command, go show yourselves unto the priests. But how many paused in their obedience to the letter of the law in order to worship the Lord of the law? Just one. Oh, may we not be caught up in letter of the law obedience and forget our relationship with our Heavenly Father, to where it's become just a list of rules and do's and don'ts. That's my Christian life. No, we cannot let it come to that, because it will not be genuine thanksgiving. No, we must remember our relationship with our Savior. And then from that springs obedience. All 10 receive physical healing, but how many receive the blessing of spiritual life? Just one. The one who came back to thank the Lord. Jesus poses a pointed question. Did I not cleanse 10? Where are the other 9? They should be here. He reproves them for not coming back and worshiping at his feet. Instead, they go to the priest, they're declared clean, then they return to their former life. They didn't continue on with Christ from this point. Now, this is a clear picture of the ingratitude of humans, is it not? It is real easy for us to look down our nose at these people, at these 9 people. But let's not be the Pharisee in the story and look down at our nose at the nine who did not come back to bring glory to Christ. Now let's make sure we're that one that does come back. Do we only come to Jesus when we have problems? When we find relief for our problems, do we make the sacrifice to return and thank Jesus, or we just kind of continue on and forget him? Is he someone that we try to stay on good terms with by doing the right things because we might need his help someday? Or is he more than that? You know, it's easy to point out the 9 men's ingratitude, but let's ask the Lord to reveal in our own hearts our failures to give all glory to God. Just in recap, true thanksgiving comes from those who confess their true condition. I can't live my Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I need to rest on that on a day-to-day basis. True thanksgiving is made with a pure motive, only to glorify God. And if it's the temptation is too great to do it in public, then I'm just going to do it in private until the Lord strengthens me and I can do it in public and still bring him all the glory. A true thanksgiving springs from a humble heart, one that is willing just to lay prostrate at the feet of Christ, not one who stands up and despises others and trusts in their own righteousness. Lastly, true thanksgiving, it gives all glory to God. So as we look at the holiday, the day that our nation has set aside for thanksgiving, many look at the history of the pilgrims and the founding of our country there, and many look at the TV and watch football, and many look at the table and clear it off and eat everything on it. I know I'm looking at many who are going to take time to give thanksgiving to God. I'm looking at many who are going to sit there and say, "No, before we pray, before we eat, we're going to go around. We're going to thank the Lord for a few minutes here. We're going to spend some time together and thank God for his blessings to us this year." And I'm looking at many who will offer thanksgiving on November 28th. But am I looking at people who are going to offer real thanksgiving? People who come and have a humble heart, and people who don't come to do it for self-exaltation, but to bring glory to God, and people who confess their true condition, that no, I'm not righteous in and of myself. The only righteousness I have is because of the transaction that Christ made and because of the Holy Spirit working through me. And we do confess our true condition, because without that, it's not really thanksgiving. We're missing something. So, brothers and sisters, as we approach this time when our minds start turning towards it and we take a brief pause from Christmas planning to celebrate Thanksgiving, and we think about it, let's make sure we don't miss the heart of the matter. We're here to glorify God. We're here to offer real thanksgiving. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I thank you. Just for these two